Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Prepare our hearts, God. Prepare our hearts, God. I pray the Holy Spirit come and prepare every heart for what you're about to say, Lord. And I thank you, God. I know there's nobody here that is more I don't even know what the word is, God. How can you use somebody like me? No one is more surprised that you can than me. But I thank you, Father. Your words are in my heart, and your word is in my mouth. And I will declare it, Father, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The Lord is speaking to me so profoundly about the awe of God. When the ancient writers were writing about the awe of God, they were so at a loss for words that all they could think of was the fear of God. I mean that, and I think language is the biggest inhibitor there. Because if we really begin to understand who God is and we begin to put Him in the place that He belongs, then everything else is secondary and it's easy. Worship is easy if you're in the awe of God. Because if you understand who He is, you understand His worth of worship. And here, you know, people say, well, what is worship? Worship is where you no longer matter. That it is entirely about God. You don't even cross your mind. None of your thoughts, none of your needs. You are so lost in Him and His excellence and His royalty and His transcendence and His greatness and His might and His power that you just disappear. And the same is true for obedience. If you understand who God is and you walk in the proper awe of God, I mean, like the writer said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't even step into wisdom until you are in the awe of God. People in the modern church, they have such trouble obeying God. Well, you know, I mess up a million times a day. I start my day saying, God, you know you're going to have to forgive me today because I'm going to do a lot of stuff wrong. Well, the reason you're doing a lot of stuff wrong because that's what you want to do. If you were doing what God wanted you to do, you wouldn't do a million things wrong every day. And if you were in the awe of God, you would do what He wants. Everything hinges on this. I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff, maybe. I don't know. But this is very important. This is the beginning of it. You've got to be in awe of God. And like I said, the writers, the ancient writers, I mean, and I get it because there's nothing I can say that can bring you into the place of the understanding. I just don't think the language exists. It's like one writer said, God breathes stars. We breathe dust. When God exhales, stars fill the universe. And we have a debate whether or not we're going to do what he says. Well, maybe I will obey him. Possibly. There's a chance, if I feel like it. If you're in awe of him, you will feel like it. One writer said, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. In Romans chapter 10, this is so important. And I don't know that it can be relayed through language, but it is so important. I pray the Holy Spirit strikes your heart with the awe of God. I pray the Holy Spirit strikes my heart with the awe of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's a different terminology, isn't it? They have not all obeyed the gospel. It doesn't say they've not all believed the gospel. It said they didn't all obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, who has believed our report? See, that's the trouble with the Western church. We think we can separate what we believe with what we do. Oh, I believe God, but I'm going to live like hell. I am firmly convinced that David Hinton hit the nail on the head. He said, what in hell do you want? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The writer is talking about, Paul is talking about the hearing that comes because we have taken our proper place before God. We are hearing his word as one who is subordinate to the one that is speaking. In other words, God is in charge. I am his servant, and it is my duty to do whatever he tells me to do. Paul goes on in Romans 12 to say that very thing. He said, when we think of all that he has done for us, it is our reasonable service to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and our mind is renewed by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe. This is my opinion, but I believe this. That a great hindrance to the miraculous is a lack of the awe of God. Why do I say that? The Bible talks about his word cleansing us. John writes, he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sickness is unrighteousness. Not because of something you've done. You didn't bring that unrighteousness on you. Possibly you did. Jesus said it a couple of times, said, go and sin no more lest a worse thing come upon you. So it is possible that sickness comes because of unrighteousness. But I'm just telling you, all sickness is unrighteous because the righteousness of God is pure. It's holy. And sickness is not. I'm just saying sometimes we get attacked by unrighteous things. So I'm not blaming you for the unrighteousness that's dwelling in you, but I'm saying if we would put him in his proper place and we would stop making excuses for our disobedience and our rebellion and we would obey the gospel, then unrighteousness would be cleansed from us. So I just don't get it. Well, what did James say? Any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church, and they will anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, raise him up, and if he's committed any sin, can you see where unrighteousness and sickness can be driven from our bodies if we believe what God says? And if we believe what God says, then we're going to do what God says. And if we do what God says, then we can have what God says. And if we have what God says, I don't think sickness is going to be around. I think the Lord is teaching us this because this is bringing us to the place where we are going to see wheelchairs lining the walls of this place. We're going to see crutches lining the walls of this place. We're going to see hearing aids and eyeglasses nailed to the wall. There's going to be people that come. I mean, we have prophetic words that people line up and wait outside because this is a place they can get their miracle. Hallelujah. If we're going to get miracles, then unrighteousness must be cleansed from us. And I'm telling you, sickness is unrighteousness. Again, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. That's God's business to blame you. And if he tells you you're doing something wrong, you need to change. If you begin to understand who he is, you will. Because the sooner you understand who God is and that he is in control, that will be the beginning of wisdom, and you will begin to depart from evil. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you think it's a proper temple where sickness is ruling and reigning? I do not. And I'm not being mean. There's nothing in me about this that's mean. It's just I'm sick and tired of me and everybody that is sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think we need to put our foot down and say we're just not going to live like this anymore. We're going to obey God. We're going to be word people. Psalm 103 says, he heals all my diseases. By his stripes ye were healed. That's what it says. And this goes for everything. It goes for righteousness. It goes for obedience. It goes for holiness. Any fruit of the Spirit that you can think of, it comes as a result that you are in awe of God. The reason I walk in self-control is because I reverence who he is. There's a woman named Mary Peckham. I don't know if she's still alive. She may have passed. She was quite old a few years ago. And she grew up in the Hebrides. There's a series of islands off the coast of Scotland. And it's a place that's just known for revival. And God came in the 50s. there's a man by the name of Duncan Campbell that two old women that could, they were so sick, they couldn't go to church. And so they spent all their time praying. And Duncan Campbell came and revival broke out. And Mary Peckham is walking on the beach. And suddenly the awe of God came over her. And she jumped into the ocean. And she said, God, your ground is too holy for me to walk on. I'm sure Moses felt that way when he walked up to the bush and it was on fire. And God said, take your shoes off. The ground upon which you're standing is holy. I'm guessing Moses right then, he got a glimpse of the terror of God, for lack of a better word. And Mary's in the ocean and she says, God, your ocean is too holy for me to be in. And so she jumped out on the dry ground. She was in the proverbial rock, between a rock and a hard place. She didn't know where she could go to find relief. And the only thought that kept coming to her was, I can go to the church. Maybe I can find relief at the church. Duncan Campbell, at the precise moment that she walked in, was preaching his sixth, I believe it was his sixth or seventh sermon that day. His voice was gone. He was speaking in a whisper. That's all he had left. And Mary walked through the back doors. And Duncan was reading the text where Jesus went right before he raised Lazarus. And he just talked to Martha. And he told her, I am the resurrection and the life. If you will believe in me, you will never die. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Don't get mad at me. And Mary left. And she goes to her sister, and that's exactly where Duncan is reading. Where it says, Mary, the Master is calling unto you. Mary didn't wait on an invitation. She ran to the altar. And she said, God, is there mercy for me? She was radically converted. And she preached the gospel all the rest of her life. She wrote books about what God did in that revival. When the awe of God settles on a place, we can expect everything that God does to take place. People will walk in holiness. People will walk in righteousness. People will walk in health. People will walk in right thinking. We live in a culture that has completely lost its way. We are a culture that is steeped in drug addiction, both legal and illegal. Because we are unable to think right thoughts. Because we are unable to do the right thing. Because in our mind, we just can't cope with reality. But if God were bigger in our mind, all the problems would go away. At least those kinds of problems. It'd be a whole new set of problems. But those problems, I'll just read it for you. Paul writing, he's getting ready to write one of the most terrifying things that's in all of Scripture. And I'm not going to read it today, but if you think that I'm just being too strong here, then after we get done, just write this down. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, and you read what that says, and then you tell me that I'm being too harsh. Paul writes in verse 3 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith." Here's the new trouble that will come when you begin to do everything that God wants you to do. In your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. He's not talking about sickness there. He's talking about people of the world that's persecuting the church. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Here's how Jesus is returning. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what's coming, folks. Now, we can either be in the group that the world hates, or we'll be in the group that the Lord Jesus hates. And you say, "Well, Jesus doesn't hate anybody." Well, it seems to me like there, if he's going to take vengeance on them for not obeying the gospel, he must not like something about what's going on. The Bible says every knee is going to bow. Do you think that the people in this country are bowing their knee to Jesus right now? It's not. Abortion is an option. It's not even an option. It's a form of birth control in this country. 1 million babies a year being aborted. 1 million. 1 million. Our culture, the media, the politicians, they would have you to believe that guns are the problem. About 50,000 people a year die by guns in America. Half or suicide. So about 25,000 people a year are murdered. Most of those, you may not like this, but this is the truth. Most of those murders come because somebody did something that really ticked somebody else off, and they just killed them. You're probably, some of you, are really not going to like this. The nicest people in prison are murderers. Am I right? Has anybody here been to prison and knows what I'm talking about? They're just people that got mad. Not all. There are some psychopaths. But most people that are in prison for murder, somebody messed with their wife. That'll get you killed. Somebody messed with one of their kids. That too will get you killed. Especially around here. You know, there was somebody that was robbing everybody in Avant. And I don't know how many people come to me and I said, "That is a limited time offer." Because I know people that live in Avant. And they were looking for them. And if they would have come to their house, the problem would have been solved. You go taking stuff from people, that will get you killed. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. Apparently somebody needed to hear that. To snap you out of that funk that you're in, into believing what the media and the government is telling you. What is wrong with this country? What is wrong with this country is godlessness. We're calling evil good and good evil. We can't expect to embrace what God calls abominations and think He's going to continue to bless. There better be a people that rise up in the fear of the Lord and begin to obey Him. Because if I'm not mistaken, that's what He told us to do. If my people, which are called by my name, God speaking, if the people that are called by God's name will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sin. And He will heal our land. That is the recipe for what needs to happen in America. There are some people that belong to God that need to put their foot down and say, I am done with living a compromised life. I'm finished with disobedience and rebellion. I am no longer going to embrace what God says is forbidden, and I'm no longer going to shun what God said was necessary. I'm telling you, this is the key. We get the awe of God. The fear of the Lord returns to the church. In Ephesians 5, I've only been talking for a little while, and I really think I'm about to wind down. Ephesians 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. Not a woman saying amen. I'm going to tell you, if I said, wives, submit to your husbands, I'd have heard some amens. Shofars would have blasted. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church. The Bible says in most translations He gave Himself, but it literally means He surrendered Himself. He surrendered Himself for her. That He would sanctify. That word means make holy. That He would make holy and cleansed her with the washing of the water by the word. Now you can disagree with me all you want, but I believe that when we're talking about cleansing, anything that is unrighteous, it's just gotta go. It's just gotta go. Amy Simple McPherson, she had a healing house. I mean, they called her everything. They used to persecute her in the newspapers like you cannot imagine. They called her everything. They called her a prostitute, a trollop. They tried to shame her. But God moved in that woman as much as anybody in the last 200 years. And she had this house. And she would have them read Deuteronomy 28 and 61. And if you're familiar with Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the curse of the law. And it talks about in the first 14, 15 verses that you'll be blessed if you obey God. And then from then on, it says you'll be cursed if you disobey God. And it talks about, I mean, you cursed in your body, you cursed in your head, you cursed in your kids, you cursed in your land, cursed in your house, you cursed in your bread, you cursed here, you cursed there, you're cursed everywhere. And then after it lists all those curses in the 61st verse, it says, and anything that is not mentioned in Deuteronomy 28, you'll be cursed with that too. You'll be cursed everywhere, it says. God was serious about people obeying him. He still is. And in Galatians 3 and 13, it says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. And she would have them read Deuteronomy 28 and 61. And she would have them read Galatians 3 and 13. And she would make them read it until they got it. And she would not lay hands on them and pray for them until they did. And it made people mad. This one woman whose time was very limited, she was under 100 pounds. She was consumed with cancer. She came to the healing house and either Amy or one of her help, you know, the people that volunteered and worked with her, somebody told this woman, this is what you got to do, and she got mad. She was too sick to throw much of a fit because she was bedfast, but she didn't want to do it. And so she laid there for a few days and didn't do it. And finally, either somebody convinced her or the Lord convinced her, who he is, somebody. But somehow, some way, she finally got to thinking, well, what have I got to lose? I weigh less than 100 pounds. I'm fixing to die. And so she started reading it. Deuteronomy 28, 61, Galatians 3 and 13. And she read it all day. All day. She read it. She read it. She read it. I'm telling you, the word works. I've told you all about things that God has done in my life. The word works. The word works. The word works. Why don't we work it? I believe it was breakfast the next morning. I may be wrong. But this woman that had been bedfast for quite some time, so sick with cancer, she comes running down the stairs. Nobody had laid hands on her. Nobody had prayed for her. She was cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. She came running down those stairs. I get it. 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 She got it. And God gave it. And what God did in the 20s, He will do today. What God did 2,000 years ago, He will do today. We have a promise. God told us 2,000 years ago that the book of Joel was being fulfilled starting right then. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. He said, on my handmaids and my servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. We are in the last days. It started 2,000 years ago, so that means 2 days have passed. 1,000 years is as with a day with the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. We're preparing to enter the third day. I don't know about you, but I have read some amazing stuff that takes place on the third day. We act like we should go back to where Peter was, walking down the sidewalk, people getting healed just because his shadow goes across them. And God is saying, if you knew what I was going to do, you would understand. Peter is like, come on, God, let me go back. Let me go back. I'll go back as somebody else. Just let me go back. I want to see what you're about to do in the earth. God ain't going to need no Peters. He's going to use just normal Harry, Dixon, Janes. That's who he's just going to use, normal people. He's going to use people named Travis. He's going to use people named James. He's going to use people named Jerry, Gary, Susan, Velma, Gertrude. Prepare yourself. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out and you are available. He's just going to do it. That little fella right there, he's walking around, he'd be laying hands on people and they'd be getting healed. God's going to do it. And if we understood that the one that speaks, if we would hear what he was saying with the awe that he deserves, I mean, he's exhaling stars. And he has taken the time to speak to us. He said, there is a vortex that descends from heaven. Those weren't the words, but I like that word. Said a tornado coming from heaven. And in it are miracles, body parts, physical healings, financial blessings, cash, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Well, why would cash have to be coming from heaven? Because all the gold is his. All the silver is his. He paves his streets with gold. His concrete has diamonds in it. If you think money is a big deal to God, you don't even understand. It's just a tool. That's all it is. And in the hands of somebody that's angry at somebody, you might kill somebody. But in the hands of the right people, it will bring healing. It will bring restoration. It will bring the miraculous. It will bring a city. I was thinking about this morning. How many millions is it going to take? I don't know. But I'm not worried because I don't have to come up with it. All I got to do is obey God. That is all I have to do. And when I think of all that he's done for me, that's my reasonable service. He's not asking too much. Contrary to popular belief in Western theology, he is not asking too much for us to obey him. Well, I'm just incapable. No, you're just hard-headed. You're just rebellious. You're just stiff-necked. You won't hear with ears as he is superior. And I'm going to shut up right here. We have believed the lie. We have believed the lie that our plan is better than his. Paul said it in Romans 12. He said, if you'll do this, then you will know how good and perfect and pleasing his will really is. The reason we don't obey him is because we don't trust his will as good and pleasing and perfect. I've had people tell me, I'm going to obey God, when they were rebelling against what I told them to do. But then they don't obey God because I see them not obey God. Ryan's going, why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? Because you're the only safe one I can look at in this whole room. If I look at her, I got to go home with her. Don't you remember me talking about getting sheets sewed up and skillets broke out? If you would begin to believe that His will is better than yours. One time God didn't give you something you wanted, and you got upset about it, and you just went your own way and said, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And you have no idea, you had no idea, that God was not withholding something from you. He was wanting to bring something better. How many of us have aborted God's best because we didn't get what we wanted? I'm telling you, God's never trying to get something from you. Maybe some preachers have. No, I'm not going to say maybe. There's some rotten, crooked, thieving preachers. I'm just going to say it. I could spell some of their names for you. I mean, they take people. This one guy got convicted in Texas. He was taking letters, taking the money out, just throwing the letters in the trash. Wouldn't even read them. All I got to say is they didn't keep him in jail long enough, or they didn't put him in the right cell. I said, well, you shouldn't be like that. No, he shouldn't have been like that. I'm sure I've thrown away a few, but it ain't many. I've still got every card, every letter, everything that everybody wrote to me. Somebody gave me a Valentine the other day, and I thank you all so much for your generosity during my birthday. You guys are so good to me, but my birthday's not till tomorrow, so go ahead and just pour out generosity. But I had a Valentine's card given to me that is probably the motivation for this sermon. It said, I love you. And you, this it said more, but I'm just going to tell you this. It said, I love you. And you are my role model. And I thought, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, God, I need some help. I got to have some more grace, God. This person thinks I'm a role model, God. You got to help me. I got to do better at this. I have to walk straighter in this. I've got to get more narrow in this. I got to quit drifting to the left and to the right. I've got to walk the way you want me to walk, Jesus. There's people looking at me, and here's the deal. They're looking at you too. You're the only gospel some people are ever going to see. You know who I'm talking about. They won't come in a church. If you only knew how many people have told me, I'll never go to that church. And what's funny is a lot of them do. I just think that's hilarious. So if you've got somebody you're trying to get in church and you can't get them, just have them say it. Say, Just scream this out. This will make you feel better. I'll never go to that church. And God is in heaven going, oh, really? You're going to tell me what you will and won't do. I breathe stars. I'll make you go to that church and you'll think it's your idea. You say, he'd never do that. When I surrendered to preach, I said, okay, God, I'll preach, but I will never pastor. My exact words. I said more because at the time it was true. I said, I'll never pastor because I hate people. Those were my exact words. Since August of 1996, I've been pastoring. Started out hating people. Now I love them. And I thought it was my idea. I have 7 pages of notes. I didn't preach any of them. We'll get to them at some point, but not today. If you would stand to your feet in reverence of the Lord. I'm not asking you to try better. That's not what I'm asking. Because we will never obey God until we start hearing the word with that attitude. You said it, Father. You're the creator of the universe. You breathe stars. The apostles that wrote the scriptures, they all had this attitude. They would oftentimes call themselves a bondservant of Jesus Christ. When we recognize that He is the master and we are the clay. I love that song, mold me and shape me after thy will. While I'm weighted, yielding and still. We've been talking along similar lines for a while. We may continue. Like I said, I got 7 pages of notes of this stuff that I didn't even touch this morning. The Bible says so much about these things. God is not mad at you. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And when we think of all that He's done for us, it is our reasonable service to be willing to sit before Him with an open face, looking into the face of Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He was there in the beginning with God. All things that are made by Him. And the writer said, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of God. And He said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power, to them gave He power to become sons of God. I'm telling you, when we find ourselves in before Him and we're just sitting there going, here I am, Jesus. We're listening for His voice so we can obey. We're not doing it in our own strength. We can't do this in our own strength. God gave men 6,000 years almost to do it in their own strength, and not a single one ever did. But we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in our mortal bodies. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He will help you. But you're just ready. I'm talking to somebody that's ready. There may not be very many. I don't know. It's not my place. All I do is preach. Only God can give the increase. Maybe there's some people here today that will say, I'm ready to listen with that attitude. That I'm listening to the one that breathes stars. And I'm going to listen with the attitude that whatever He says, I'm asking you for grace to obey you, Lord. I'm praying for mercy to be multiplied to me. Grace be multiplied to me, God. Give me ears. Don't you know there's a reason that the Lord Jesus said, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Those are the ears that He's looking for. Yielded ears. Surrendered ears. God spoke to a guy here one time and He said, don't quit. Surrender. There's a big difference. As the music begins to play, we're just going to close it out with this. There is an altar ministry meeting immediately following the service. Lunch is provided. If you want to minister in the altars, we're not changing anything about what takes place during praise and worship. I'm keeping my hands off of it. We're keeping our hands off of it. But we have speakers that are coming in. We need to get a little organization. For when they're here, we want to know what everybody's doing. Everybody needs to know what they're doing. It'll help the speakers. It'll help the people that are getting prayed for. And so we're just going to start implementing a few changes. But before we go back to that meeting, if you heard God's voice today, and you're saying, I'm finished with rebellion by His grace. I don't want to be stiff-necked anymore. Somebody's watching me. Here I am, Lord. Change me. Shake me. I'm telling you, this stuff works. My wife told me yesterday or day before, she said, you know, used to, you were no fun. She said, but now you're fun. Jesus did that. I used to hate people. Now I love people. Come. If the Lord's speaking to you, come. Turn the music up. I like it so loud that people can't hear each other praying. I want people to have privacy. If the Lord spoke to you, come. Something else so new that I forgot to do. If you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, maybe you rededicated your life, if you'll just take a few moments, go right over here with Brian and Julie. They have some gifts they want to give you, some little books that'll tell you what it means to follow Jesus. Very helpful to you, kind of explain what took place. They're right over here, the beautiful woman and the young man that is very handsome because he looks like me.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.